Previously on Lenny Gray.
Looking back, she noticed the old woman was still, but had begun humming a spiritual tune that was familiar to Lenny Gray. She was trying to recall the words when Ida pinched her.
Can't you tell she at the end? Don't you know at a time like this, you don't stand around lost inside your head? Ain't you seen people pass on before?
No, Lenny Gray answered, rubbing away the pain of the pinch.
Tom and Curly need to be here. They need to get here quick, before it's too late. When death comes, it happens quick. 1 second a person's here, and then, before you can blink your eye or before your next thought become your next word, they gone. Go on now. Go get the men. They need to be at her side before she go.
Ida pointed in the direction of the field.
Katie Books Productions presents Lenny Gray, an audio drama, written, produced, and narrated by Earl Sewell.
Stepping off the front porch, she moved as fast as she could towards the field. When she found Tom and Curly, they were tilling the soil with the help of a mule. Tom made a clicking noise using the side of his tongue against his cheek. Yanking on the strap, he stopped the mule so that he could hear what Lenny Gray had to say.
What do you mean she ain't got long? All she got is a little cold, that's all. My mama can't be that sick.
I'm telling you what Ida done told me to say to you. Tom focused his gaze in the direction of his mother's shanty.
That can't be true. Grandma Mary's strong. Can't no little cold take her away?
Curly said, who was within hearing distance of Tom and Lenny Gray. I'm telling y'all, she don't look good. When was the last time y'all been around to see her? Y'all had to have noticed she ain't nothing but bones. Lenny Gray's eyes darted from Tom to Curly.
Curly, put the mule in the barn and meet me over there,
said Tom as he began walking in the direction of his mother's shanty. Lenny Gray followed Curly to a dilapidated barn and watched as he tied up the mule so that it would not get free. Noticing the sour look on Curly's face, she could tell that the news she had delivered was not being taken well. You okay? She asked mournfully. The look of despair was immediately replaced with an angry one.
Why are you asking me that?
His tone was as mean as a possum protecting its babies. I'm just trying to be helpful to you is all. If you hurtin'.
I'm a man and I don't hurt like a woman do.
Curly said with bravado before marching angrily out of the barn. Lenny Gray trailed behind him until she caught up. You are hurting, Curly. It's okay. I ain't gonna look at you like you was less than a man, Lenny Gray whispered sweetly. She looked over at him and could tell there were tears forming pools in his eyes. It was then that she realized that behind all of the fire and sternness, there was a different man. A caring one that she wanted to know more about. She wanted to reach the true Curly, and not the hot-tempered version of him that he let the world see. Was you real close to your grandmother? Lenny Gray asked as they walked down the road. Curly didn't answer. He kept his eyes focused on his grandmother's shanty.
She was my grandmama. We had no choice but to be close, said Curly with a crack in his voice.
Lenny Gray waited for him to say more, but he didn't. Then, her mind began to fill with more questions, like, did he know that his grandmother knew her mother? When they arrived, Tom and Ida were standing on the front porch with solemn expressions on their faces.
What's wrong?
Curly panicked as heartache pressed down on his spirit.
She gone, Curly,
said Tom, who then took a hard swallow.
Oh, that's not true,
Curly said, and rushed towards the door, but Tom stopped him.
She gone. Ain't nothing nobody can do,
Tom said, swallowing his anguish as best as he could. It wasn't easy for him to accept that his mother was gone. Tom wanted to drink heavily to numb out from his feelings, which were trying to take over his state of being.
I want to see you.
Curly tried to push past, but Tom stopped him once again. Looking into his son's eyes, with pain in his own, he said,
go on in now and say your piece. I done told one of the children around here to let folks know that Mary passed on. Plenty of folks will want to come by and pay their respect before we...
Tom exhaled loudly several times. Then he howled. He couldn't bring himself to say the word, Barry. Ida, who was equally wounded, comforted Tom as best as she could.
On in now and say your piece, boy.
Ida waved Curly on.
Uh-huh,
Curly hummed. Lenny Gray entered behind Curly and stroked his shoulders. Lenny Gray and Curly walked over to where Mary's body was wrapped in a pallet. Curly lowered himself to his knees and slumped his head downward. Curly began sobbing. He scooped Mary up in his arms and kissed her forehead before he gently placed her back down.
In 1904, I was a little boy.
Curly's words came out in short bursts.
A white man come down the road in the truck. He say, boy, you owe me some work. And I say, no, sir, no I don't. Then he say, well, you want to make yourself some money. And I said, yes, sir. The man told me to hop on the back of his truck because he had some farm work that needed to be done. He said he'd pay me for my day and bring me back. I didn't know no better. The man tricked me. He had plenty of work, but he didn't pay me. When I tried to leave, he said, if you leave, I'm going to shoot you and throw you in a river. He didn't have no right to keep me there working for free. When my daddy found out what happened, he tried to talk to Sheriff Quinney into coming to get me. Sheriff Quinney would do no such thing. Grandmama Mary went to talk to Sheriff Quinney to beg him to help me out. She caught him on a bad day, and he locked up for a long time. As soon as she got out, though, she walked to the farm where I was to talk to the man. She tried to get him to turn me loose, but he would do no such a thing. Grandma Mary told him to take her and she'd work for him for as long as he needed her with no pay other than a little food and some clothes. He agreed, and she started working in his kitchen at his goddamn field. She got me out of there and told me to go home and not to worry about him. He kept her there for 7 years until he took sick and died.
Curly began sobbing over her body once again. She did that out of love, Curly. She put herself in a way of trouble so that you could be free.
It wasn't right, Lenny. When she come back, she was more broke than ever. Her back was twisted and one of her legs had went bad from all the standing she had to do. I felt bad.
Curly's emotions were big and swelled inside of him like a river about to crest. Lenny Gray held on to him. She briefly looked over her shoulder and saw that a few elderly women had entered the shanty to say goodbye
and to deal with the remains. When Lenny Gray sensed the moment was right, she told Curly it was time to let the others come in.
Need a drink.
Curly rose to his feet and moved Lenny Gray out of his way. He did not want her to see him in this state. He wasn't supposed to cry. He was a masculine man and was supposed to be able to take it. But right now, Curly was feeling diminished and refused to allow too many people to see him as less than a stone-hearted man. After Mary had been buried, Lenny Gray noticed that the vulnerable version of Curly she had saw and had the privilege of meeting disappeared. His evil temper and sternness returned stronger than ever. In her mind, it seemed as if he was determined to never reveal that side of himself ever again. Death was everywhere, and the people of Dixon Mills began to believe that something unnatural had cursed their town. Some of the white citizens locked their doors and windows. Others packed up and went somewhere else until it was safe to return. "Why are people getting sick and dying so quick?" Lenny Gray asked Curly one evening when he had come back from fishing. He had caught 3 good-sized catfish and was taking them to a tree stump on the side of their shanty to remove the scales and gut them.
"I don't know,"
Curly answered, severing the head and tail of each fish.
"I heard that the preacher who married us, he gone too."
"What exactly does that mean, Curly?"
"He dead, Lenny."
"Oh, no, Curly. Don't tell me no stuff like that."
"Well, he is. Ain't nothing nobody could have done for him."
"Well, old age took him, right?" Lenny Gray asked.
"He got sick like the others."
Shrugging his shoulders, Curly then said,
"He was sick one day and dead the next."
"Why, Curly? Why is this happening?" Lenny began to wring her hands.
"Lenny, who do you think I am? God? I don't know why people is getting sick. They just is."
"Something wrong in the world, Curly. I feel it in my spirit."
"How do your spirit know right from wrong?"
"It's a feeling. Don't you ever feel like something is off?" Lenny Gray asked, feeling uneasy. "As if God were watching and making his judgment."
"No, I don't. The only inside feeling I know for sure is when my nature come down and I'm ready to do what come natural between a man and a woman."
"That ain't the kind of feeling I'm talking about. It's a different kind of feeling. Like God is nearby trying to warn you or tell you that you doing something he don't like. To me, Curly, it's like God being the moon and the stars. At night, whenever I go out, the moon follow me all the time, like God is in it, watching me."
"Lenny, that ain't no God."
"What? God is real, Curly. Don't go around saying stuff like that."
"If he is real, he wouldn't let bad things happen to good people like my grandmama. Far as I can tell, the onlyest real thing is the devil. He shows up everywhere. I figure I might as well praise him instead of God. As far as I can tell, all the evil people in the world gets all the riches in the world. Must be what the devil wants. That's why all the good people get done wrong. They worship a God that don't give them a goddamn thing."
"Stop talking like that, Curly. You're talking like you're crazy. Like your mind got twisted or something. You must have been out in the sun too long."
"I ain't been out in the sun too long. I know what my name is, I know what a dead is, and my mind ain't abnormal. I'm telling you the truth, Lenny. No need to be afraid of truth."
Curly finished cleaning the fish and headed into the house so that a meal could be prepared. Lenny Gray remained outside, looking up at the heavens and wondering why Curly didn't believe in God or see God the way she did. She did not understand that Curly was a secular man and not guided by the Holy Spirit.
Hi, this is Earl Sewell, author, creator, and narrator of the audio drama podcast, Lenny Gray. I wanted to stop in to say thank you to the listeners of the show. This show has been listened to in a number of countries, and I wanted to take a moment to acknowledge the people in the following countries for listening to this podcast. And here they are in no particular order. China, the U.S., Hong Kong, Russia, Colombia, South America, Argentina, South America, Australia, Finland, Hungary, Germany, France, Ireland, England, the Philippines, Bulgaria, Italy, Canada, Nigeria, and South Africa. I don't know who you are, but I do know that you're tuning into the show weekly. Or bi-weekly, for that matter. I know that you're tuning into this podcast bi-weekly, and I wanted to give you a personal thank you. I really, really appreciate that. I really appreciate you for taking the time to listen to my creativity. Also, please feel free to share a link to this podcast on all of your social media websites and recommend it to friends. The second thing, if you want a little bit more about the Lenny Gray podcast, I have a Facebook group that you can go and join. It's called Lenny Gray Audio Drama Podcast. It's a Facebook group. It's free to join. You can go over there and you can get some behind-the-scenes stuff about the podcast and a little bit more about me. I hope you will take the time to join me in that group. And the last thing that I want to share with you. Lenny Gray is just one of about 25 novels I've written. Lenny Gray is one that I turned into a podcast. I have a number of other works. Another one of my works is called Keisha's Drama. It's book one in an 8-book series, and it's a young adult series. So for those of you who have young adult readers and you want to give them some really good reading, then try out Keisha's Drama. What is about to follow is an excerpt from that novel. I hope you enjoy it. Oh, and by the way, you can download Keisha's Drama wherever books are sold, via Amazon, via Barnes & Noble, or Books A Million. I hope you enjoy this excerpt from Keisha's Drama.
I'm really not the type of girl who likes to get caught up in a lot of drama. But sometimes, I feel like drama is closer to me than my own shadow. And sometimes, situations become explosive. Like an earth-shattering thunderclap that comes with strong spring storm. I know that's a messed up way to think about my life, but it's true. I just saw my so-called boyfriend Ronnie at the movie theater with his arm around a girl from school. There I was, at a movie by my damn self because he told me that he couldn't hang out because he had to study for a chemistry exam. He was working on chemistry, but not the type that was in a book. He didn't even see me in the darkness of that movie theater. He sat two rows in front of me. He started whispering in her ear as he fed her his nachos. When I saw him do that, I lost my cool. I jumped up out of my seat, took the lid off my slushie, walked down the steps toward them and said, "You need something to help drink with that?" and threw my drink on him. Then the messed up part is the fact that I had to hustle up on the money to even go to the movie theater by braiding hair for some badass kids. And not only is the Ronnie situation messed up, my whole life is messed up. And I just don't know what to do.
Marshall Turner's life is a dream come true. He has a successful law enforcement career. He's married to a woman he passionately loves, and he has a daughter who makes his heart swell with pride. Then, in the blink of an eye, tragedy strikes when Luther Parker, a drifter, kills Marshall's beloved daughter and flees into hiding. But living as a fugitive is never easy, especially since Marshall and the police had launched a massive manhunt to track him down. But Marshall has to decide whether to bring Luther to justice or have his vengeance. In Have Mercy, the national best-selling and award-winning author Earl Sewell delivers it all with his riveting tale full of intrigue and suspense. Download your copy of Have Mercy today, exclusively on Amazon.com.